Our gospel reading for today is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 22 through 40. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice, according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. In the name of Jesus, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this is a reading. It is wonderful to hear how Joseph and Mary, they're just following the directives of God's Old Testament people. They know they need to go to the temple. They know that they need to carry out certain things. So how are they treating Jesus? According to God's commands. Jesus, who actually fulfills all the commands as he lives out his perfect life and sacrificial death, propitiation from Hebrews chapter 2, for our sake. It's kind of interesting. I don't know about you, but if I walked into church with my brand new baby and some stranger grabbed and lifted him up, I think I'd be a little alarmed. I think I'd be a little bothered by that scene. How about you? I mean, that's kind of over the top. I mean, but they take it in. They're amazed at what they're hearing. And then, of course, Anna starts talking about the redemption of Israel and all this. Pretty amazing. I mean, it's fascinating. The front of our bulletin has Simeon really old. Is he really old? Well, we know that Anna's really old, right? She's 84. She's been a widow for a long time. And she's been looking forward to and celebrating, and now she sees. But how old is Simeon? We don't know. I mean, just because he's been told by the Lord that he will not die before he sees the consolation of Israel doesn't mean that he's necessarily old, right? But what we do know is that they're treating Jesus with joy and celebration. They are so thankful to God for him. But, dear friends, it's not about Simeon and Anna anymore. It's about you. It's about me. How are we treating Jesus? How are you treating Jesus? You know, it's an important question for us to consider and to think about. We see what Simeon does. We see what Anna does. But how is Jesus often treated today? For some people, he's just a part of family history. Yeah, I was baptized long ago. Don't go to church. Don't pray. Don't do anything. For some people, it's just simply a tradition that you're aware of places in your community. You don't have any other connection. No understanding of what that Christian church is about or what they're doing. You know, some people treat Jesus like a hobby, just a subject, something to dabble in every once in a while, have some fun with, and then move on. Still others, they want to have an insurance policy, so they get baptized and then they forget about it. They don't do anything. Rihanna told me when I got here, Pastor, here we confirm kids and then they leave. I said, no way. You don't do that. She said, yeah, that's what we do. I said, no way. You know what I found out? When kids get confirmed here, they're gone. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Graduation and confirmation aren't supposed to be together. You're confirmed into a richer relationship with Jesus, not a separate relationship with Jesus. But some people, they just want to go through certain things. Still others think about it as an academic topic. Others, even worse, a joke. Still, there are plenty that don't know anything about Jesus. Is that okay? Is it okay that they don't know anything about him? You know, when we treat Jesus this way, it's not the Lord that we treat miserably. We hurt ourselves. I mean, we rob ourselves of all kinds of benefits that the Lord would have us receive from him across all kinds of aspects of our lives. You know, Jesus is to be treated as our way of life and our way of death. We can face life and we can face death knowing that the Lord is caring for us. And really, that's the next question I need to ask you. How does Jesus treat you? What do you expect from him? Do you want him to give you the bum's rush? Do you want him to treat you as an option? Do you want him to treat you like a play toy or a fun little topic every once in a while? I mean, how does Jesus treat you? How does he treat me? I mean, think about what he was willing to do in a full way for us. We heard an interesting word in our Hebrews reading, propitiation. I mean, that makes it all clear, right? I mean, boy, that's a big word. Propitiation actually means that Jesus stepped in and took your place. He took my place. He took our place to face all of God's wrath for all the ways that we have misused our relationship with God across our thoughts, words, and actions in any and all ways. He is that one sacrifice. He's that one that actually establishes between us and God peace. How does Jesus treat us? With the utmost tender loving care. He's willing to take our place. He's willing to die for us so that now our resurrected Lord will care for us. I mean, think about all the ways that Jesus cares for us in our life. You know, forgiving us across all the ways that we fall short is certainly good news. But even more, he promises in Matthew chapter 11, he says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And then he makes a promise. He says it this way. For you will find rest for your souls. You know, your soul and my soul is all of my life and your life. You know, that's a big subject. You know, in truth, everything and anything we do, we are to do in service to Jesus. How we drive in North Texas, how we treat each other in our homes, how we treat the people at work, how we treat each other here is actually how we treat Jesus. Wow, we need a lot of help. The good news is that he's not afraid to help us. He's not afraid to teach us. And he says, I am gentle and humble in heart. So he's not a mean teacher. He's not an impatient teacher. He's willing to work with us. I need someone who's pretty humble and gentle with me, about you with you. Amen? And the Lord says that he is just exactly that. And you know, how many ways do we need to learn about how his forgiveness applies to certain aspects of our lives? He's willing to teach us what it means to be forgiven so that we can move on from all the ways that we have fallen short and failed him. But he also can teach us all kinds of things about how to live in our relationships, how to carry out aspects in our life, whether it's at home or at work. He is willing to teach us about many things. Not only is he willing to lay down his life for us, but he's willing to instruct us and care for us. But you know, there are things in your life and my life that are different than needing to learn how to live differently. Like Simeon and like Anna. You know, in a lot of ways, we're no different than they are. We're looking forward to the Lord's return. But man, there's a lot of heavy things. There's a lot of challenges. Even as Christians, we pray about a lot of things. We try to fix a lot of things, work through a lot of things, face a lot of things. And it's just hard. In those situations, it's not about forgiveness and learning mercy. It's about learning to be patient and to endure. But even there, Jesus cares for us. There was a passage in Isaiah I wanted to share with you the day after I broke my hand and really majorly sprained my wrist. And now I get to share it with you today. And it's Isaiah 42. And in here, God is talking about Jesus, and he says it this way, and this was associated with our Lord's baptism. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. Here's verse 3. A bruised reed he will not break. I mean, how many ways do you find yourself barely hanging on? About to tumble over. About to give in and give up and throw in the towel. He's not going to. I mean, how many people in your life and my life aren't afraid to just push us all the way over? I was driving in McKinney yesterday, and here's all these telephone poles just kind of leaning over like this. And I'm thinking, gosh, how many ways am I just like that? You know, you wonder if those babies are going to fall over right away or not. And, you know, in your life and my life, there are things that are just, man, we just have to, we're barely hanging on. Jesus knows, and he won't do the final cut and let us fall. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. I mean, how many ways can our faith be barely burning? How many ways can we just feel so, so out of gas? And of course here, again, as with the staff, the implication in all of this is that not only does he not break us off, but he straightens us back up so that we can walk in hope and peace and joy and love, and that we can actually burn brightly, reflecting the love that he has for us, again, where we live or where we work or go about our life in our neighborhood. I mean, here's how he treats us. He treats us with the utmost care. Not only that, but in John 10, 27, we hear this. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. I mean, he really knows all about you and loves you. I know them, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one can snatch them out of my hands. That's quite a thought. The implication there is that plenty will try to snatch us out of his hands, but we're going to remain in his grip. I mean, sometimes we want to jump out of his hands, and he'll hold on to us, caring for us, whatever we're going through and dealing with. Now, why we have to face some of the things we do, I don't know. But in his economy, in his ways, he can bless us. I mean, look at what some of your challenges are and say, Lord, I don't know why I'm having to go through what I need to go through, but I know here you'll bless me, you'll take care of me, and you'll take care of all the people I care about as well, because I know that's how you treat me. That's how you treat us. You know, this is what it's about. We're in his hands. I mean, he's not finding anything else he'd rather hold on to. He's holding on to you. He's holding on to me. He's holding on to us. That's how he's treating us. And so, take him with you today. Don't leave him here. Take him with you today and throughout this week. Share with him your ups and your downs. Share with him your joys and your sorrows. He wants to hear. You know, we share those things because he's important to us. Because we're like Simeon and we're like Anna, learning about what this one means and taking in the consolation and the redemption that God promised, celebrating that God's promises are being fulfilled. And just embrace him. I mean, now just use your mind's eye. Here you are, picking up the Christ child like Simeon did and holding him up, celebrating him. And now in your mind's eye, think about how you, like Anna so long ago, are looking at the one who was pierced for our transgressions. I mean, think about how he was handled. And yet in those ways, he would make sure that we would be cared for. Take comfort in that. In the name of Jesus, amen.